Portions of the following program were pre-recorded.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right. Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
Hey, welcome back. Hope you had a good weekend. Everybody's here.
Morning, studio.
Morning.
I'm always happy to come back on Monday. Like, Mondays are maybe my favorite days. Because I got so much to talk about. Like, I'm always fired up to get back in the studio. I know you guys like your days off, your weekend.
Oh, yeah. Need a three-day weekend.
But Amy told me a funny story about how she was shamed at the store. Did you tell them this or no?
Oh, no. I haven't told anybody yet.
What happened?
Okay.
Well, I got shamed by the cashier for buying everything they had left of one particular item. I'm obsessed with these Vital Protein sleep shots.
What is that?
It's like it's a little shot that has, like, I don't know, melatonin and lavender, and you just throw it back. I have no idea if it's placebo effect, but I take these and I'm sleeping better. It's like my sleep juice, and I want them all. And Amazon was sold out, so I couldn't order any. Well, I called the store and they got some in. Like, I called ahead. Like, I wasn't going to drive over there if they didn't have it. So I get all the way there and they have, like, I don't know, 9 left. And so I grab all 9 and I go to the counter and I'm buying. And he goes, you know, this is the only 9 we have left. And I was like, yep, take them all, please. That'll give me 9 nights. And he's like, well, these are really popular. You know, like, some people are going to come in and be disappointed that they're all gone now. And I'm like, what is it? I mean, I'm a paying customer. I'm here to buy these. Like, I felt he was making me feel like I should go put them back on the shelf and I should not be selfish. There was no limit. Sometimes stores will be like, only 2 per customer, blah, blah, blah. No limit. And by the way, they were on sale. Bonus. So I was really wanting to buy them up. And he just made me feel bad. And then I thought in my head, you know what? No, this is America.
Oh, wow. USA.
Why are you hitting with that?
Think about that.
No,
good.
In my head. And I was like, I'm not going to have you make me feel bad for wanting to buy these. Life's not fair. And people should know that. So if they didn't call ahead to find out y'all had them in stock and come drive all the way over here to grab them. Because let me tell you, I called and as soon as they said they had them, I got in my car and I went there and I got them. Because I know how quickly they sell out. And so I bought them all. But he definitely made me feel bad. Like, I was a bad person. Like, bad. Like, not thoughtful. Like, not caring
about.
Did
he somewhat convince you that you were a bad person?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't cool about it. If I knew my employee was doing that to customers, I'd be like, what? Like, that's not really how we should make customers feel. So I don't know. Was I wrong for taking all 9? Or should I have taken 4 and left 5 for 5 other?
Well, I don't think you're describing it right. You didn't take them. You bought them. You paid for them.
That's right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
My hard-earned money.
You want to go buy 9 of them or you want to go buy 90 of them? This is a store.
That's right.
This is where they sell. Right. Yeah,
In America.
Yeah, in America.
Yeah. So, honestly.
That's what I should have said to him. I don't care if there's 9 or if you had 90. I'd be buying them all. Especially because they're $1 off right now.
You did nothing wrong. And for him to go, ooh, you don't know these people.
No, I don't know them at all. And life's not fair.
And you know what the owner of the store probably say? Hey, cashier, shut up. We're trying to make a buck. In America, we have capitalism.
Exactly.
Like, you put something out. If people want to buy it, they buy it. So, obviously, they wanted to move them or they wouldn't take it. You're absolutely right. Does anyone disagree with me?
No.
The only thing that came to my mind. It wasn't like they were free and she went and took, like, lunchboxes. If he's ever walking by a soup kitchen and like, oh, free soup, he'd take it all.
Right.
There's a difference in that because that's taking free stuff.
Right. But Amy could have gone back in 3 or 4 days and got more. There's no need to buy 9. She's not going to drink 9 in one night.
I don't want to drive back over there. It's 20 minutes from my house.
Didn't you used to work at Sam's Club?
I did work at Sam's Club.
And isn't the whole point of Sam's Club to buy bulk of things so you don't have to go back?
Yes.
So that's the whole purpose of that.
Yeah, I was buying in bulk. Good.
I am just saying Amy could have bought 3 and then ordered them on Amazon like she normally does and had helped her fellow customer out, but instead she wanted to hog them for herself. Hey, if you want to be selfish, I like being selfish.
This is how the guy made me feel. He basically made me feel selfish and like, I don't want to think of other people.
From my heart, you're absolutely right.
Thank you.
You did. Not charity. It's money.
Now I have them in my fridge.
There you go. There you have
them. Right. Yeah, and someone else can't sleep at night.
And I'm going to take one tonight.
They're losing sleep. They're going to be late for work. I mean, wow.
This Bobby Bones is the Bobby Bones Show.
There's a guy in Massachusetts. He was arrested for keeping an 86-inch flat-screen TV that was mailed to his home by mistake. This is in Boston. The news says this. He said, hey, man, what's up? Police surrounded his house. They knocked on the door with flashlights, like boom, boom, boom. They went through the windows. They said, hey, come outside, and they handcuffed him. He said he originally bought and paid for a 74-inch flat screen, but when the 86-inch arrived, delivered by a third-party company. He chose not to return the larger model. The police found it mounted to his wall. See, I looked into all the laws. He said, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Apparently, they called over and over again to get him to send the TV back. The shipping company claims he signed for the incorrect delivery. He disputes it. He says they never informed him. He's facing jail time. The end. He was charged with larceny, fines, lots of stuff. Your thoughts on this, Lunchbox?
I think that he did the right thing because the TV was delivered to him. He signed, he ordered a TV, and when he got inside, he realized, oh, they messed up. He put it on his wall, looked good. Hey, TV's gone. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
There he goes again.
Amy?
I mean, no, he needs to give it back. He's in trouble.
If he knew that he knew. Sent him something larger than he paid for, you at least have to, I'm in the middle here, you at least have to answer the phone when they call.
Oh.
You have to acknowledge the fact that, hey, you guys messed up and sent me this TV. If they never call, I don't have a problem with him keeping the TV. If they never call, if there's never an issue. Because, again, it's not like they sent him a car, you know? He didn't order a pair of shoes and a Lamborghini showed up. You take it 12 inches on a TV or whatever the difference is there. If they call and go, sir, it looks like we sent something. Because who knows? Maybe he didn't know.
Okay, fair. Maybe he didn't measure it.
I mean, I'll be honest. All dudes measure it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. We all do.
So, okay. My point is that jail time's a little much for this.
I mean, cops surrounding the house? Right, come on,
okay,
guys.
Yes, much.
A little overboard.
All I'm going to say is if they can show that he deliberately kept it even though they reached out to him and said, hey, and he knew, then he should be penalized. Maybe a little fine, probably a little community service, no jail time. The cops don't need to surround the house. But if he completely lied, he should be in trouble. If he didn't, come on. So I'm kind of in the middle of you two.
Well, I got a confession. My wife ordered like a hanging light.
Oh, boy. Go ahead.
About a year ago, and they sent us two.
Yeah.
On accident. Like, one came one day, and the next day we got another one. I've never returned it.
SWAT team today.
and it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
It wasn't cheap, so I was like, man, they messed up. But later down the road.
What did you do with it?
Did they reach out?
I kept it. No, they haven't reached out at all. I'll sell it. Put it on Craigslist or eBay. Someone will buy it. It's a nice, like, hanging light, yeah. And so... When
did
I saw
you
this,
check to make sure your wife didn't accidentally order two?
Yep.
Okay.
Check the credit card.
But even though you guys have different credit cards, you still look at hers?
No, I had her check her credit card, yeah. And she said, nope, only charge once. I said, then, hey, we win.
Like, what would I do? I would call and say, hey, I have an extra one. I feel like my conscience would get the best of me. Like, sure, it's a big company, but a big company always starts from one small person. You have people's jobs on the line. I think I would call because my conscience would be deeply bothered. However... if this guy got this TV and it's 12 inches or whatever the difference is, 86, what was it? 86?
Yeah, something like 12 inches longer.
74, yeah, 12 inches.
It's a whole foot.
It is.
Right.
Thank you, Amy.
That's right, Amy.
Let's do some easy trivia early in the morning. So these are all questions that everybody knows. You just shouldn't miss it.
Right. You shouldn't, yeah. But you do.
Our players are Amy, Lunchbox, Producer Eddie, and Morgan number two.
Woo!
If you miss it, you're out of the competition.
Ugh.
Easy trivia starts now. Amy, how many continents are there?
Seven.
Confidence.
Wow, that was smart.
Well, felt good about that one.
Lunchbox, who was the person to first say hello on the telephone?
What?
Who was the first person to use the word hello on the telephone?
I guess Alexander Graham Bell. I have no idea.
Is that Dolly?
Dolly Parton.
What?
No. What?
Oh.
Thomas Edison.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, is he friends with Alexander Graham Bell? Like, I would have said, wait, Lunchbox said.
He's giving a booty call.
But, I mean, was he like, hey, will you test this out for me? Because didn't he invent the phone?
Mike D, do you want to shed some light on this? He called him.
He called him and he said hello.
Yeah.
How crazy they were friends.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They probably rolled in the same circles.
Probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, yeah.
Eddie, how many degrees in a circle?
360. That's a full circle right there.
Morgan number two. Let's talk about geography.
Oh, gosh. Hey. Yeah, give her something else.
It's the order of the questions.
Okay.
These are handed to me.
I blame it on Mike D.
It's a Mike D.
Mike D special.
Boom.
Morgan number two. The Statue of Liberty was gifted to the United States by which country?
It's Germany.
Germany.
Oh, yeah, probably not.
Where'd you go to college?
That would be France.
Hitler sent it over.
Good. Good.
That's a different time, Amy.
I know. I was just thinking of anybody German that I knew.
Amy, what's the longest river in North America?
In North America. So Nile would be the world. Mississippi.
It is?
Hey, don't laugh at me, Eddie.
I thought
calm
it'd be
down.
Like the Amazon or something.
Eddie, a right angle.
But that's not in America.
That, he said North
America.
Oh, that's South America, my bad.
Why are you guys just
yeah, you're
moving
right.
On?
You're right, moving on.
A right angle is how many degrees?
I love all the degrees questions. Give me 90. Yeah.
You two are just left. Amy, what are the three primary colors?
Red. Blue. Yellow.
Really?
Wow.
Back up.
Backing up.
Eddie, easy trivia.
Come on, Bones.
Who was the second president of the United States?
John Adams.
Ah!
I almost said Sam.
Amy.
The beer.
What is the name of the imaginary line around the center of the earth?
Well, I've been there when I went to Kenya.
So what is it?
It's the equator.
Eddie.
She's good.
What's the largest planet in the solar system?
Oh.
The largest? Jupiter.
Well, you have a song about it. It's not fair.
Did we say which one was the largest in that song?
I don't know. Every time you ask anything about the solar system, I just immediately try to think of your
my
rap
very
song.
Energetic mother just served us nine pizzas.
Who founded the equation E equals MC squared? Amy.
Softball.
Einstein. I think I've seen a picture of him with those letters.
Eddie, the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, which is located in which state?
Yeah. It's Massachusetts.
Wow. Amy didn't know that one. Wow.
How do you know?
Because you looked at him like, I don't know this. Good for you.
I almost said Pennsylvania.
Amy, a person who studies fossils and dinosaurs is known as what?
Paleontologist. Thank you, Ross.
From Friends?
Yes.
Eddie, what does CEO stand for?
Chief Executive Officer.
Oh!
All right, there's one question left because we have to go to tiebreak.
Yeah, baby.
So buzz in with your name.
What?
Okay. What is the process called in which plants change sunlight into...
Amy. Photosynthesis.
There she goes.
Yes!
Mike D special.
There you go, Mike.
Yeah. Bobby
Bones Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Tim McGraw shared what he thinks makes soldiers so special.
It's just a heart of service, I think. It's the willingness to go out and do things and sacrifice not only your life, but your family, all the things that they have to suffer. You're willing to go do that so we can all be safe, so we can all live the lives that we lead. And that we can do the things that we do and have the freedoms that we have. And they're just special people.
Lady Antebellum's recent single, What I'm Leaving For, resonates with people in the military.
When I got the song, I remember, it just wrecked me. But I sent it to my brother-in-law who served a couple tours in Afghanistan, and he was like, oh my God. It's so present with where we are. I mean, we tour a lot, but there are those that serve that really tour for a duration that's way longer than we ever do. And so it resonates with that crowd, and I think it hit a lot of people in that way.
Brad Paisley talks about him and his wife launching the free grocery store in Nashville for those in need at the perfect time.
We're growing 95% a week. We are three times what we planned on feeding right now. Already at this point and what we thought our trajectory would be. Of all the strange timing, we opened a grocery store for people that lose their jobs just before everybody is losing their jobs.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
Yeah. The Bobby Bones Show.
Bobby Bones Show. Come
on. It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Firefighters in Tennessee cut through a wall at a family's home to rescue a dog that was chasing a squirrel in the attic. The dog's up in the attic, chasing after a squirrel, falls through. And firefighters, they go in Chattanooga, and they go and they have to cut a hole in the wall, and they get Bella out, who's a wiener dog. Luckily, everybody survived. Everybody's good. The firefighters just used a saw, cut through the wall. They're like, Bella, they're trying to make the dog not move while they're cutting the wall. So they cut back there, but the dog obviously runs to the sound. But everything's good. So good for the firefighters, good for the dog. Everybody wins in that one. That's funny, huh?
Yeah.
It's funny because everybody got that. Okay. All right, that's what it's all about right there. That's Tell Me Something Good. There you go.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from the Bronx, New York. A 35-year-old man showed up at the hospital at 2:30 a.m. saying, "I've been shot. I've been shot. Someone shot me in the butt." They rush him in, take x-rays. There's no hole in his pants. They don't find a bullet. He's like, "No, guys, I got shot." He was just really intoxicated and fell on his butt.
Oh, he fell on it. I wonder if he really thought he was shot, though.
He really thought he was shot, but they charged him with public intoxication.
Oh, dang. Got him.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Get your Bobby Bones on.
The Bobby Bones Show.
All right, so what'd you see?
So the guy that created the first ever Labradoodle says it's his biggest life regret.
Creating the Labradoodle? I mean, he bred them?
I guess so. He's the original person behind the poodle and the lab being put together to make the Labradoodle.
And why does he regret it so much?
Just because of all of the way the breeding has gotten out of control, and it's like the dog's a hot mess now. Like, maybe in the beginning it was like a great idea, but then all these breeders get involved, and I don't know what you even call it because I'm not a breeder, but crossbreeding and I don't know. And the dogs are just like, you never know what you're going to get these days. And I'm like, well, I have a Labradoodle. And while I do love her, she's crazy.
You do have a Labradoodle, huh?
Yeah. And we rescued her. So I don't know that she's, I think she's legit, you know, pure Labradoodle. But she's doodly. Yeah. She's crazy.
The inventor of the Labradoodle said that the dog was at first created, which is a weird word, something that's alive, for a blind woman in Hawaii whose husband was allergic to Labrador guide dogs. So it took him 3 years to come up with the Labradoodle, where the fur is that of a poodle. So Labrador instincts it can guide, but this person couldn't have the Labrador hair, the dander.
Right. Correct. So it becomes hyperallergenic.
So he actually did it for a real, like a positive reason. He wasn't just a mad scientist in a room. Oh, I didn't know that. Mr. Conran is his name. He'd been credited with sparking a crossbreeding frenzy, resulting in Shih Poos, Puggles. What's a Shih Poo? A Shih Tzu and a Poo Bear?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
What's a poodle. Oh, Shih Tzu and a poodle.
Shih Tzu and then...
What's a Puggle? A pug and
and a poodle.
Ooh, pug and a oodle. Ooh, and I used to want a pocket
these
Puggle.
Poor oodles are getting just slammed in with all these dogs.
I mean, you do a poodle with anything and it makes it so cute. And they don't shed.
I bred the Labradoodle for a blind lady whose husband was allergic to dog hair and dander. Why people are breeding them today, I haven't got a clue. Oh, I'll give you a clue. They're cute.
Yeah.
They're cute AF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
as the kids say.
Yeah, as the kids say. That's his biggest life regret, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, let's do this. Around the room. Your biggest life regret. Amy, you're up.
Quitting tennis.
Oh, because? Because
I do think that I had a chance at being good. I was at the same tournament as Andy Roddick back in 1992. He wasn't Andy Roddick then, but he was there. And that is the one tournament I won first place at. I didn't play him. I was in the girls group. I have my first place trophy. Sometimes I still see that trophy and I'm like, why did I ever quit tennis? First of all, I really enjoyed it. There's more to this as to why I quit tennis. Not just that I could have been good, but also I feel like when older in life, you see all these older people playing tennis and having fun doing that. And now it's just like such hard work to get back into it.
Okay, but if you wanted it, you could. And also, I would say that you may have been okay, but you didn't develop you're not a crazy athlete. Like, if you were a great athlete still today and you just stopped playing tennis, I'd be like, yeah, you probably missed out on that.
You didn't see me in 1992.
You're right, I didn't.
You didn't.
I should reserve judgment until I go back to 92 and watch you.
Watch the game tape.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like I would always play sports and then just kind of quit and move on. I don't know why I did that, so regret that.
Lunchbox?
Ooh, I would have to say going to class my sophomore year because I had went and tried out for the real world. I had driven 3 hours to College Station from San Antonio, tried out, and when I left, I was like, they're calling me. They're going to call me and say they want me. I got home that night, and I had economics, a night class. I was like, you know what? I'm back in time. Might as well go to class. And guess who called me while I was in economics class? The real world. And I missed that call.
I mean, yeah, you wouldn't be here right now. That's
I wouldn't
sure.
be here
None
right
of
now.
I'd be playing tennis.
Yes, I'd be on the
You'd
challenge.
Be a tennis pro. Lunchbox would be on the real world.
Yeah, the
road
challenge.
Rules,
oh, my goodness. I'd be. Yeah.
Eddie, what biggest regret?
It's going to sound weird, but I got to meet Willie Nelson one time when I was working, and he offered me to do Willie things with Willie, and I said no. I declined Willie on what Willie is known for.
Yeah.
And I was working at the time, and in my mind, I was like, I'm driving people. I just started my shift. I probably shouldn't, but this is the one time Willie's ever going to say, Eddie, would you like to? And I said, no, sir, I'm good. Thank you.
That's a good decision.
Oh, man, because I don't do that stuff anyway, but yeah.
Morgan, number two?
Mine's similar to Amy's. I quit playing softball, and I had a real shot at being on a national team, so yeah. I shouldn't have quit.
Don't nod at me like I told you.
Well, I mean, you got some athletes up in here.
But you never know.
Morgan number two is an athlete for sure.
I'm not?
You're okay.
Amy, you have a tough time walking down the hall.
Yeah, Amy, you walk through the door and run into
I have athletic ability.
I know. You have a lot of ability to do a lot of things.
I play softball, too.
I mean, you a switch hitter or something?
No, that's golf.
Okay. I am ambidextrous athlete.
Okay.
Because I can golf left or right.
You can't golf at all. You golf unequally.
She carries two sets of clubs.
Eddie, she's bad both ways. She's like, I'm the same both sides. No, you're just terrible at both sides. Oh, we're all terrible at this stuff.
Okay.
We're
not hating on you. Okay, yeah. All right. Speak for yourself. Bobby Bone,
come on. All right, so what did you do, Lunchbox?
I went to a house auction. I saw a sign in my neighborhood that said, you know, auction 1 p.m. on this day. And I was like, oh, this can't be real. Like, where you go and actually bid, like Storage Wars? And that's exactly what it was. They had a white tent, and you go, and there was like 8 or 9 people, and we lined up along a fence, and the auctioneer starts going, and whenever you want to bid, you just go, yup.
To buy a house?
To buy some house. Like, it was a rundown, like, beat-up house. Like, I guess it's like a teardown. It's probably contractors. But I always wanted to do Storage Wars, and I couldn't believe it was just happening right down the street. So I was like, I got to get in on this.
Amy looks at me as Lunchbox is describing it like, is he serious?
Yeah.
She looked at me like, okay. Here is, you're in the middle of the bidding.
I'm in the middle of the bidding, and you have the auctioneer, and you're going to hear me go, yup, because I'm not there really to buy the house. I'm just there to raise the price, guys. I don't have any interest in buying this house.
Here we go. Lunchbox takes the bidding at $166,000. That's where he jumps in. Go ahead.
$166,500.
Is that you?
Yep.
It sounds like the Loch Ness Monster video looks.
Right? Yeah, that's like from the 40s.
It's so murky. I couldn't even hear what's going on.
What if you ended up having to get it?
No. There was 9 people. Like, I was looking at their eyes and how high they would go. And I was like, these bids were flying off the shelf. Like, this wasn't like we were slowing down. Like, it was like, is anybody going to bid? Everybody going to bid? Like,
how
going
high were
once,
those?
Going 167,000.
Oh, God. Did people look at you like, oh, this guy means business?
Yeah. I mean, I looked serious because I wore kind of like they were all in their worker clothes. You know, they had their work boots and they looked like contractors. Like, so I had a little notepad. Like, I knew what I was doing. Like, yeah, all right, here we go. Looking like I was going over the numbers. Woo! So much fun.
Here's one more clip of Lunchbox jacking the price from 167 to 168.
167
Who's recording this?
I am. So here's what happened. I didn't know that it was like a real thing. I thought I was just going to drive by and it was just going to be someone like signing a contract. My phone had 2%. So I had to park on the street. And I had to leave my car and the phone in the car charging. And so I had to sit it on the windowsill and I'm standing over by the fence. So it's on the charger in the car. That's why it sounds like it's far away.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, there's no.
At least it picked it up. That's crazy.
I mean, I was literally 2 cars from the fence. Like, it was like you're parked right along the road and people just stand there along the fence. Yep.
You made 3 bids, huh?
Yeah.
And he did one more. We don't have to play it. Oh, we can play it. The audio just isn't that good. It's a funny bit. But he jacks the price up to $169,000. And then what did you do when you were done? Did you put your hands in like, oh, I guess I'm out?
I was like, someone outbid me. I was like, crap. I said crap out loud. Like, that's all I got.
He pulls his pockets out of his pants and lets them hang out.
Walks away.
That's all I got, boys. What'd you learn from this?
I learned that it is a very interesting process, and they take it very serious. I mean, they have a lot of people, and a lot of people go to these things. And you got to... I mean, if you want to bid, you got to get in there. Like, you got to be aggressive. You can't be scared to bid. So much fun. Now, I need to find storage lockers because I think those will be a little bit cheaper.
To go bid on a storage locker?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, absolutely. House, so.
And did you Google what the house should cost before you went?
Yeah, it was like Zillowed at $250.
Wow, what a deal.
And they were bidding it that low?
Yeah, well, because, I mean, I guess it was a foreclosure. I mean, it was run down. Like, I think it's more the lot was it worth that much. and it ended up going for a total of $215,000.
Well, do it again next time, but put the phone in your pocket.
A little closer to your mouth.
And then yell things that are fun. Like, I'll take that one. Yeah.
Listen.
I think we're on to something here.
Yeah. I was nervous. It was my first. I didn't think it was real. Like, when I saw the sign, like, auction, and it had an arrow pointing down the road, I was like, come on. Like, there's no way they're really just selling a house like this. And they really sold a house just like that.
That's
and
crazy.
They have to have the money with you there?
Yep.
I don't know
yep,
about that.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Lunchbox.
Bobby Bones, yo.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Hey.
I mean, it's always funny to say happy Memorial Day weekend, huh? Isn't that a weird thing?
I know. It is, since it's a time that we're remembering those that have sacrificed everything.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people say it because it's like, hey, we get to go have fun because of people that sacrificed for us, but it's always a weird thing. But we want to give our deepest appreciation to all those men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice while fighting for our country. And I mean, it's much more than a three-day weekend. It's time to remember the men and women who sacrificed for us. And because of that, I put together a special Bobby the Historian. Hit it, Ray.
Bobby the Historian.
We'll talk about Memorial Day. It's observed on the last Monday of May, honoring the men and women who died while serving the U.S. military. The Civil War, which ended in the spring of 1865, claimed more lives than any conflict in U.S. history, and required the establishment of the country's first national cemeteries. By the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had begun holding springtime tributes to these countless fallen soldiers, decorating their graves with flowers and prayers. And that's where it started. That's why it started. Now, there's a difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. On both Memorial and Veterans Day, it's customary to spend time remembering and honoring the countless vets that have served the United States. However, there is a distinct difference. Memorial Day is the men and women who died while in the military service. Veterans Day is a day set aside to thank and honor all who served, wartime, peacetime, regardless what happened with them. They lived, died, and that's the difference there. Veterans Day is always observed on November 11th, regardless of the day of the week, which is Memorial Day is always a Monday. Memorial Day was originally known as Decoration Day for the practice of, like I talked about earlier, decorating graves with flowers and wreaths and flags. And then obviously Memorial Day has its own set of customs. General Order Number 11 stated that in this observance, no form of ceremony is prescribed. But then over time, several customs and symbols became associated with this holiday, most notably on Memorial Day to fly the flag at half staff until noon and then raise it until sunset. So just some background on why and what it is. And we're very thankful that we get to be here with you on the radio because of those who fought for us. So happy, well, that's just, you're supposed to say that, but it's just weird to say, right? Hope you have a good Memorial Day. Yeah. How about that? Even Memorial.
And you're good. Yeah, hope you have a great day remembering those that lost their lives.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
Oh, man. So there's this chicken named Colorado, and it got too large for her own legs to support herself due to factory farm chickens.
Oh, wow.
They're bred to grow really quickly, like way faster than they should. But there's this rescue farm that will take in these chickens. Poor Colorado, they thought they were going to have to put her down because she just was so uncomfortable. She couldn't walk. She couldn't support herself. Well, the husband at this sanctuary, he read about a chicken wheelchair online.
Wow.
So then he built one for Colorado, and ever since Colorado got her wheelchair, her sparkle is back.
Is this a real story?
Yes, there's a rescued factory farm. They rescue chickens that are, you know, basically born to fatten up and then give birth or eat.
Yeah, eat.
Eat, actually. And Colorado got saved. They built a wheelchair.
Wow. You can believe that or what?
No, a wheelchair? For a chicken named Colorado in a wheelchair.
All of those things. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
It's that time.
The Morning Corny.
What do sharks say when something cool happens?
What do sharks say when something cool happens?
Jossum.
Yeah, that was Jossum.
Yeah.
That was the Morning Corny.
Thank you.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Memorial Day Music Special.
Man, a lot of great music as we are paying tribute to those that have died fighting for our country here on Memorial Day. And not only are we doing it, but we're letting you do it. This is Jay from Georgia.
Hey, Bobby. Morning, studio. I just wanted to call and recognize my father-in-law. He served in the Navy and was a Vietnam War veteran. He was a really awesome guy. He would do anything for you, come help you out in the middle of the night or do anything you needed. Unfortunately, he passed away last year after battling with cancer, but I loved the show, and thank you guys for all you do.
Really happy that you're here with us as we can pay tribute to those with music that died fighting for our country. Here's a voicemail from Joanne in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
I'm shouting out for Memorial Day, my father-in-law, Frank Edward Bishop Jr. He spent his first wedding anniversary invading Normandy on June the 6th, and he successfully fought all the way across France until a sniper got him on the German frontier. He spent the rest of his life as an amputee, a real hero, a wonderful man, passed away July the 8th, 2009. And here's to you, Frank Bishop.
You guys called and left us a lot of really amazing, touching voicemails as we pay tribute to those who died fighting for our country.
For Memorial Day, I like to remember my dad, who was a sergeant in World War II. And at the end of the war, he got permission from President Eisenhower to marry my mom. He met her when he was in Germany, and it's in the books in Washington, D.C. So I wouldn't remember my dad. And you guys have a happy Memorial Day.
Paying tribute to those who gave the greatest sacrifice. Here's a voicemail from Sarah in Woodlake, California.
Hey, Bobby. I like to celebrate my grandpa, Paul Lira. He served in the Korean War. Unfortunately, I lost him last July at 40 years old. I still have all my other grandparents. I'm super thankful for that. But I'd also like to shout out my other grandpa, Papa, in Salisaw, Oklahoma.
Here's a voicemail from Gulfport, Mississippi.
I just want to give a shout out to my husband. He's about to go overseas. He's a huge fan of y'all. He knows I've been Big Show, and he loves the Four Losers as well. He's about to deploy here, so we're just getting ready for that. I'm going to buy him a couple of your books, Bobby, so he can read them overseas. But I just wanted to give him a shout out, and hopefully y'all play this on the radio because he'd really freak out. Appreciate you guys.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
There's a family in Georgia. They're asleep in the middle of the night, and boom, their house gets struck by lightning. The 16-year-old wakes up, looks out the window, and the barn has caught on fire. And he's like, oh, no, the horses. The door's locked. He runs out there and just starts, boom, boom, kicks the lock off the door and gets all 14 horses out of the barn. Wow. None of them harmed. Wow.
Look at that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
I'm so against body hair on me. Like, I will, you know, I shave my face and my neck. I don't even like beard hair on me yet. And then I even, you know, that little spot on your neck, Amy, that like that hole that goes right before like your start, right before your chest starts?
Yes.
Like, I shave that real deep, and then I'll shave the top part of my chest as well.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, no back hair, really. I got a little bit, I guess, just from, it's not real back hair, it's like fuzz. But then I shaved my chest too. Where do you stand on body hair?
Oh, I don't like back hair, but chest hair is sort of okay, a little bit. I like beards, but yeah. I'm not into a lot of hair, I guess.
Did your husband have a hairy chest?
A little bit. It's not too hairy, no. It's just a little bit.
What do you think about me when mine's like a baby's butt?
I mean, that's...
Is that too little of hair?
Maybe. I don't... Like a... Does it feel like is that soft? Wow. Like a
baby's
butt?
It's just clean.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's fine. I mean, I'd prefer someone to be more into, like you, taking care of their body than not. So, yeah, I'm sure it's fine.
What about when I shave my armpits?
That's weird to me.
Like I could I do clippers.
I know. You've done that for a long time, and I think that is bizarre, but fine. Better than like if it's like when Lunchbox's arms are down closed, it's like a troll, right, Lunchbox?
Yeah, his hair comes out through his short sleeve shirt sleeves.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it does, and women like that.
So
they do?
It's the sign of a true man.
That is where I think trimming would be. Like if yours
if you didn't trim and yours looked like that, then I'd be like, yes, trim away. But I don't know that a lot of people have it that much.
Yeah, but what would you rather have, mine or Bobby where he shaves it all?
He doesn't shave it all. You don't shave it all, do you?
What do you mean?
Your underarms? You don't shave
it all. I just take a clipper to it.
Yeah, it still has hair.
Sometimes it grows back.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
But, Bobby, but if don't shave it all. Oh, don't.
You can't do that, dude.
But
Bobby, wait, no, I thought you just trimmed it.
Well, no,
just...
it grows back, and then I cut it all off again.
But at some point in time, it's just...
Oh, boy.
There's no hair there.
It's like a 12-year-old.
No. Why have for years I misunderstood what you were doing to yourself? Stop it. No. You need hair, but just not all the way.
From Ask Men. When it comes to body hair, ladies of all ages hate a hairy back. A recent survey found it's fine to have chest hair as long as it's not chest hair that morphs into the shoulder, back, and neck hair. Back hair is a huge turnoff. Wax it off. Some chest hair is okay.
Uh-huh.
Like facial hair, body hair can be an age indicator, making a guy look a little older and wiser. But you'll need to trim. Amy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. Ask Men is correct.
And
they didn't mention underarm hair, but what you need to know, Bobby, is trimming it is fine, but don't get rid of it fully.
Okay.
Don't do that.
If it were up to me, I'd have no hair on my body whatsoever.
No?
I would start with a clipper, well, from the top of the head. After my neck, there'd be no hair all the way down to my ankles.
Have you ever shaved your legs?
No.
That's weird to me. Why wouldn't you do that?
Well, because it takes a long time.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do that. I just like run a clipper down it. Anything I can run a clipper down, Amy, I do.
Okay, cool. Good to know. Cool. Does anybody else in this room have opinions?
Oh, I told you, I'm all hair. I don't do it.
I'm all hair. Like how disgusting is that?
Eddie, what are you?
I don't have a lot of hair. But and if I do, I keep it nice and trim and clean.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Why is hair so awkward to talk
about? It's very awkward.
It's not. Why is it awkward to you guys to talk about hair?
I just feel awkward now that I know that you shave your arms fully, your underarms fully.
And time to get into the mailbag.
Bobby's mailbag.
Hey, Bobby. My wife and I are expecting, and a bit concerned going in, was that together we carry a significant amount of credit card debt for our income level. Today I checked the mail, and there was a letter addressed to her from a bank. I'm not proud of it, but I opened her mail.
Oh.
Apparently she has an old Navy Visa, and her last payment was returned because of non-sufficient funds. We spoke briefly when she got home. She claimed the card had about $1,000 in debt. She didn't tell me about it, and then made a huge issue of me opening up her mail. I stated while I didn't enjoy opening her mail, I felt it was justified, considering she lied to my face about the other bills. Now she wants me to apologize for opening her mail. While I remained calm, cool, and collected, I outright refused to apologize, as I felt justified. Am I wrong here? Should I apologize for opening her mail? Or is it justified that I'm mad about the credit card debt? Thanks. That's the end of the email. Well, first of all, I go, they're married and they don't open each other's mail? That's weird to me, right?
Yeah. I don't know their situation, but we open each other's mail, my husband and I.
So what do you think about this?
I think, I don't know their mail situation, but if typically he does not open her mail and that's a thing, then he does need to apologize for that because two wrongs don't make a right. It's not like, well, you lied to me, so I get to do whatever I want. No, they need to work through that. But I think part of the process is he could be the bigger person and start with the apology. Like, I'm sorry I opened your mail. And he needs to realize why that's bad, if that's not their relationship. And then she hopefully will follow suit and realize she messed up as well. And she can apologize. And then they can start moving towards the direction of clearing up this debt.
You know, with this, he's never going to get to the actual debt unless he goes through the first level of the mail opening. That has to be addressed. If that's a thing where he shouldn't have done it, then he has to go, hey, I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
That has to get hammered out before they can even get to the debt, because she's going to go, nope, not talking about it because you opened my mail.
Totally agree.
And right now she's just using that as...
Yeah, she's deflecting.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I would do it too.
Yes. So this is my advice. It's basically the same as Amy's. If you want to get to the debt, you have to apologize for the mail opening.
Right.
because it was wrong. If that's not y'all's relationship, then that right. part was wrong. And if you want to be, somebody has to be the adult here. And so since we're giving him the advice, then I would advise that he steps up, he apologizes first, and maybe it'll start a little chain reaction where she'll realize she's in the wrong too. And then she'll apologize, and then they can work on, you know, mending things. Because this is something that could spiral out of control quick.
Our video producer, Eddie, is heavily in debt with credit cards.
Oh, yeah.
And you've spent all this year trying to get out of debt.
Yeah, we're working on it. The goal is to be completely out of debt by the end of this year.
And do you feel like you're going to get there?
We're in the right direction, yes.
Did the foster kids throw some new...
Yeah. I mean, we have four kids now in the house, so that kind of just takes the whole financial thing in a different direction. But I mean, I'm trying to stay on track, and you know, we weren't really cutting stuff out in the past, but now we're trying to limit going out to eat and pizzas on Fridays, stuff like that. Stuff.
Whenever producer Eddie was getting he got engaged and he's about to get married to his now wife.
Here
how long
we
ago
go.
Is this?
Here what? We go.
This is a great story. He goes to her dad and goes, I can't marry her unless you pay her debt off.
So kind of like this mailbag letter, like it's, she had a lot of debt from when she was 18. You know, when she was still living at home, even 16, I think. And so I felt like, you know, her dad needed to clear that up before she brought that into our marriage.
But what if he wouldn't have?
I mean, I would have tried to talk him into it a little
more.
No,
like, that's not what I'm saying. What if he couldn't?
I would have married my wife. I mean, we still could have gotten married, but I mean, I felt like it was just that's what I had to do. I mean, it was like, give it a shot.
How do you bring that up with him?
Oh, here we go.
Like, what's that first comment? Do you, like, tap him on the shoulder? Hey,
you
sir?
Do it or she does it?
I did it. I had to tell him, too. You know, it's just like, hey, Bill,
Are you at dinner?
We were at dinner. Okay. We were at the house or whatever. And I think the girls were washing the dish or picking up the plates, and it was just me and Bill at the table.
Lauren's so great.
Yep.
And so I say, you know, man, Lauren, and my wife told me, you know, that like, or my girlfriend, you know, a fiance, she's like, she told me she got a lot of debt, you know, that she had when she was like living here. And I just don't want to, I don't think, I don't know. You're married, you know, put yourself in my situation.
You get it. Yeah.
Do you want to bring that into a new marriage? You know, do you want to do that? And he's just like, no, you know what? I guess I understand that. I mean, how much debt does she have? And like, well, talk to her. She's got a lot of debt.
What was it? Do you remember?
It was like maybe 25,000, 30,000.
Oh my God.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. What? On what?
Dude, it's a lot of those CDs.
You think about, yeah, Columbia House.
No, I think about what?
You think about high school and shopping and like spring breaks.
But how does she have a car?
I didn't do any of that.
How do you have a car? What?
Right. You're not a girl.
Yeah.
I'm a girl.
You didn't have credit cards in high school?
No.
No.
And her dad paid off all that money?
He did. He took it.
Baller.
I think you're going to say $2,000.
Yeah, that's pretty big. It's hefty. It was hefty. I think
that's the first. I mean, we've known this story for years. I think this is the first time he shared the dollar amount. Oh. Why in my head was I just thinking it was a couple thousand dollars? Because
that's
like,
normal.
Okay, I don't even know how, as a teenager, I'm speechless.
But do you know, like, his response was like, I respect that. I respect that you're trying to start your marriage on the right foot. And so.
Did she buy a brand new car?
Every year.
I think She reminds me a lot of you, Amy. Like, she had a lot of car accidents and stuff like that. So I think that her dad made her put it on her credit card to do that. And then he ended up just paying for it anyway. But yeah.
Oh.
That's how we did it. And you've been married how long?
We've been married 13 years.
There you go. It's one of the best moves you ever made.
Oh, yeah, man.
I would have never done that.
What? You would have never done what?
Went to the parent and been like, hey,
you would have taken on that much debt.
If you're taking on a person, I think you take on the person.
Oh, it's kind of like baggage.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's part of their baggage, kind of part of their history.
But it's a baller move to do that.
Well,
man, now that I know it's that high, I don't blame you for asking me to dad.
Thank you, Amy.
I was like, y'all could work through this. Just, you know, work it off little by little. What?
Yeah. That's a lot of Spencer's gifts.
Yeah, man.
Bobby Bones. They put out the list of top 10 Tom Hanks movies of all time.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but what I'm going to do is I'll play you a clip from a Tom Hanks movie. Just name the movie.
Oh, that's easy.
Right.
I mean, they're all huge.
Right. Amy, you're up first. Ready?
Ready.
Name this Tom Hanks movie.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump is correct. Pretty easy one there. Okay, there we go. Lunchbox, you're up. You ready?
Yeah.
Name this Tom Hanks movie.
You guys think this is a big joke. We've only got 1 week left before the move. A moving buddy. If you don't have one, get one.
Got that.
What is that?
Toy Story.
That's correct. Nice work.
That's good.
Woo. By the way, that's the number two
Tom Hanks movie of all time, according to people. Toy Story.
Number two.
Number one was Forrest Gump. We're going in order.
Okay, good, good, good.
Oh, wow.
Toy Story was number two.
Okay.
Eddie, ready?
Come on.
Name this Tom Hanks movie. Number three on the list.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
What did you do?
Nothing. I stirred the tanks.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Eddie.
Epic.
Do you know what movie that is?
Apollo 13.
Apollo 13 is correct.
Come on.
Amy, ready?
Yeah.
Name this Tom Hanks movie.
I stand before God, and he asks me, why did I... did I kill one of his true miracles?
You tell God the Father it was the kindest you done.
Oh.
Oh. Is that the Green Mile?
It is the Green Mile.
Yes!
Wow. Yeah.
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 Good job, Abe.
Okay, I really liked the Green Mile.
Yeah.
And then it got a little weird.
They got real weird.
What, like the flies and stuff? The big guy?
Is it okay to say that?
Yeah. What? They got weird?
No, that, like, you just gave away part of it.
Oh, come on. The movie came out like 30 years ago.
I don't know. Okay.
It's fine, Bobby.
Okay. I don't want to be a spoiler, you know? I thought the movie was fantastic. Then it got a little science fiction-y, oddly.
It got real weird.
All right, Lunchbox, ready?
Yeah.
Right up your alley.
All right, number five.
Number five.
Ma'am, I'm sorry to have to tell you, your son is forging checks.
Forging checks? Wait, I'm sure we can take care of that. I'm working part-time at the church now. Just tell me how much he owes and I'll pay you back.
So far, it's about $1.3 million.
Do you know what Tom Hanks movie that is?
Guys, go ahead. This is a great one. Catch Me If You Can!
I still haven't seen that one.
All right. Amy. No, Eddie.
Oh, me, me, me.
Here you go.
The ship's broken. We had to go.
Nobody gets hurt. Easy. Hey!
Look at me.
Sure.
Look at me,
sure.
I'm the captain now.
Yes! That's Captain Phillips.
Wow, we're perfect so far.
Wow, okay.
Everybody's tied at two. You have one more. Amy, are you ready?
Ready.
Fire! There you go! Look what I have created! I have made fire! I have made fire!
There you go. Name that Tom Hanks movie. Amy, what is that?
What?
Wow, these two guys are shocked that you don't know this one.
What? Really?
Wow.
I mean, he sounds too old for when he was in this movie, but I guess I'm going to go with Big.
Big.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Amy, I have never even seen the movie, and I know what it is.
What is it?
It has to be Castaway.
It is, because he's like, I made fire.
I mean, when else does he need fire?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Lunchbox.
Oh, I just got that one.
To stay in the game.
Oh, okay.
Name the number seven Tom Hanks movie. Ready?
Yeah.
It's very important you don't stink today.
Hey, I make no guarantees.
We bow, right, in unison, and we're off the stage before the applause dies out, right?
What if they want an encore?
You unplug and you run off stage. Smiling. No encore.
Can you name that one?
Okay, I haven't seen this one, but I know he's, it's a musical group, like it's a band. And I want to say Almost Famous, but that's the one you guys like, that, so it's not that one. What is it about? I mean, the only thing... we'll just go Almost Famous, because that's
funny. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
It's that thing you do.
Ah!
You doing that thing you do. There you go. Breaking my heart into a million pieces.
That's one of his top movies of all time.
Listed as number seven here.
Wow.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, Eddie for the win.
Come on. Yeah.
You get this, you name it. The number eight Tom Hanks movie of
all time.
Let's go. Here we go.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Why don't you leave her alone, Jimmy?
Oh, you zip it, Doris.
All right.
Are you ready?
For the win.
I got it.
Go ahead.
A League of Their Own.
There he is. A League of Their Own. He's our winner. Nobody clapped for you except for me.
I know.
I was the only one clapping.
That was his luck of the draw.
Lunchbox didn't clap. I went right down the list.
I don't know what I'm saying. I just wish I'm not complaining. I'm saying I wish I got eight.
What was the rest of the movies?
There's only one more, or two more. There is this one.
No one said you are going to lose both engines at a lower altitude than any jet in history. But
Captain
be cool.
Sully.
It's called Sully.
Oh, you're right.
It's called Sully.
You're right.
Forrest Gump, Toy Story, Apollo 13 at 3, Catch Me If You Can, Captain Phillips, That Thing You Do, Castaway, A League of Their Own, I forgot to say The Green Mile, and Sully. Those are the 10.
Okay.
Bam.
There you go.
Gosh, Tom Hanks is so great.
But you are the winner, and that's your
Yeah, track. That's my dude.
Yeah, I'm glad you have it.
Hey.
Bobby Bones.
Man,
So happy you guys could spend even just a few minutes with us today. Thank you so much. Gotta go. Hopefully you guys will be around. We'll be around. I'm around all day, actually. Mr. Bobby Bones on Twitter and Instagram. And if you have the iHeartRadio app, search Bobby Bones Show on demand. Thank you, guys.
Come on, y'all. Bobby Bones Show. Yeah.